So there's this genealogy, and then there's this statement that he makes, or that the Bible makes at the end of the genealogy. We find this in Matthew chapter 1. He says, thus there were 14 generations from Abraham to David. What's Abraham have to do with it? Abraham is when the promise started. It's when the promise started. Now, lots of times when you think about God, you think about God's plan. And people say this a lot. I hear them say it a lot. Do you understand God's plan? Are you part of God's plan? Are you following God's plan? But to me, plan communicates like there's these pieces on a chessboard and he's kind of moving them around, right? He's got this plan. A promise is between you and him. A promise is personal. He's made you a promise. Thus, there were 14 generations from Abraham, that's when the promise started, to David, and then 14 from David, by the way, he reiterated or restated the promise in a big way to David, 14 from David to the exile to Babylon, and then 14 from the exile to the Messiah. Now, if you had gone, and you can do this, you can go back and read your Bible, and you can pick out almost any of these time periods and see what's going on, and during that time period, you'd be like, it doesn't look like God's in control. It doesn't look like God is keeping his promise. It looks like there's no way the promise gets kept. This is what's God got to do with this? Where is God? And so we're going to actually take, in the genealogy in Matthew, there's a person that's mentioned. There's a person that's mentioned that you won't believe is in the Bible. Matter of fact, this story I'm about to tell you is so scandalous, you're going to be like, what? How could that be connected with God? How could that be in Jesus' genealogy? You mean this is where Jesus came from? His family, this is where he came from? And so let's jump back and see what happened. I'm going to introduce you to who this is. It's Judah and Tamara. Judah and Tamara. It says, at that time, Judah left his brothers, went down to stay with a man, Abdomen, named Hira. We're going to come back to that in just a minute. Let me introduce who these people are. There's Judah, one of the 12 sons of Jacob. The promise was made to Abraham, Isaac, and then here comes Jacob. Jacob had a son named Judah. He had 12 sons. One of them was named Judah. This is Judah. And then Judah gets married to Shua. That's his first wife. And then he has three sons, Onah, Shelah, a third son. Now, the important part of this is that in their culture, when you married someone, and if you died, your brother, your younger brother, was to marry your wife and to keep your name going and take care of her. And so then comes Tamara. So Tamara marries the youngest son, Onan. But Onan was evil, so he dies. And then comes, she gets married to the next son, and the next son says, I don't want to have kids with her. And so he doesn't have sexual relations the way he's supposed to, and so he dies. The third son thinks he's pretty smart. He goes, I know how this works. You marry that woman, you die. So he's like, I don't want to marry her. So they tell her to, you know what, you just go back and live with your parents. And one day when he becomes of age, he'll marry you. And this goes on and on and on and on. So what she does, so then we come back to that verse where it says that Judah went to visit his friend. So what she does, this is pretty scandalous. If you can't handle it, plug your ears. What she does is she goes, oh, I'm going to dress up. She dresses up as a prostitute, is on the side of the road, knows he's going to visit his friend, know he's coming by. He comes by, and he goes, oh, he visits her as a prostitute. Interesting part of the story. He doesn't actually have enough money to pay her, so he leaves her some of his personal items and says, listen, I'll pay you later, and then you give me back my personal items. And then she makes sure that they cannot find her to pay her. Well, she gets pregnant. Well, the news comes out back to Judah and says, listen, this, your daughter-in-law is pregnant. He goes, oh, host, that is horrible. What an ungodly woman. Let's stone her. Let's stone her to death. And then she goes, oh, really? Stone me? Guess who got me pregnant? And she brings out what he left with her. And then he's like, oh, I'm the unrighteous one, and he repents. Why is that story in Jesus' genealogy? Well, because it's about the promise. It's not about the plan. It's about the promise. And when God makes a promise, he keeps the promise. And guess what? His promise was not that I'm going to stay in heaven and keep myself pure and clean and have nothing to do with you. His promise was, I'm going to come among you. Now, I'm holy and righteous, and so what I'm going to do is I'm going to save you out of sin. I'm going to save you out of the trouble. The next passage is in 2 Corinthians. This has to do with God's timing. He says, at the acceptable time I listened to you, on the day of salvation I helped you. Behold, now is the acceptable time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. God's promise is of salvation. God's promise to Abraham is that he would save the world by one day bringing a Messiah who would come and give his life, which ties into what we're going to talk about today. It ties into what we're going to do today. Today, three people are going to take the step of baptism. The step of baptism is a public step to say, I've accepted the promise that Jesus has offered me. I accept the promise that Jesus has offered me. That Jesus went to the cross and that all of my sin was put on Jesus. The Bible even goes so far as to say, he became my sin. And the wages of sin is death, and so he died in my place. But he was so righteous and so pure and so powerful that he rose from the dead. He paid for it, came back, has power over it. Well, the picture of baptism for each of these people is that they have put their faith in Jesus Christ. That's not what they're doing today. They've already done that. And therefore, the Bible says they died with Christ, and they have risen from the dead, accepting the promise of Christ to live forever, to be with him. I put it in this sentence. Go back to Tamara and what God was doing. You see, God has a promise. We tend to call it a plan, but God has a promise. Now listen, he not only has a promise, he is working that promise in a broken world. You see, in the Tamara part of it, you see the sinfulness. That was a terrible story. If you come and tell me that's what you did with your life, honestly, I really am. Like, I've heard you guys tell a lot of stories, but I'm going to be like, wow, that's really sinful. Why? Because he came to work this plan, keep this promise in the midst of whatever sin you become a slave to. And he's inviting you into that promise. Now, in terms of Christmas, I want to encourage you to do something this season. Don't trust your plans. Make a promise. Don't trust your plans to bring joy and happiness and fruitfulness and great relationships and warmth. Don't trust your plans, because your plans will always get messed up. The timing of your plans will always get messed up. Maybe what's even worse is when they don't get messed up and you make everybody else kneel to your plans. How about you make a promise? Men, how about you make a promise? You make a promise to love and care for your wife. You make a promise to be present for your children and to play with your children and to interact with your children. Guess what? When you make that promise, even though the plans don't go well, oftentimes that even gives you greater opportunity to keep the promise. Moms, How about instead of trusting your plans, you make a promise? You make a promise not to be disgusted or roll your eyes for the entire... That's too big. Sorry about that. That's too big. You make a promise to only roll your eyes 3 times during the entire...
Too big.
Do you get it, right? Why do you roll your eyes? You roll your eyes because they screwed up the plan. How about you make a promise? Because no matter what happens in the circumstances, you can keep that promise. You can't keep the plans. Jesus amazingly made us a promise. And no amount of sin, no amount of scandal, no amount of mess up will stop that promise. He's going to keep his promise. So I encourage you, rest in that promise. Rest in the promise. What do you mean? Well, wait a minute. If he's going to keep the promise, then I don't have to make everything work. The weight of the world is not on me. I'm going to rest in his promise. Does rest mean not do anything? No. Many times, you can be really, really active. Whenever I show up for a party and I'm not in charge, it's the best. I have more fun than ever. Why? I just get to play. I'm resting in the promise. Be grateful. Be grateful. It's so easy to make plans and be able to go, this is going to be the greatest Christmas ever, and this is going to be, I'm so grateful what's going to happen. Don't do that. Be grateful for what's here. Be grateful for the promise that Jesus has already made you. Be grateful for the people he's put in your life. Be grateful for those precious little kids. Be grateful for husbands and wives. Be grateful for the people that love you and you love them.